If you have your Bibles, let's open them to just one verse tonight, and we're going to be looking at Romans chapter number 5, Romans chapter number 5. I thank you for the great spirit you brought not only this morning, but tonight as well, and it's not the preacher's job to bring a great spirit. It's when you come in and your spirit is open, something great's going to happen. Tonight's message is just going to be called A Message from the Mexico Mission, 3M. It's kind of like a company. Message from the Mexico Mission. My wife and I were able to fly to Mexico City this week, and we did not visit our missionary Kevin Wynn, but we did visit several other missionaries, and primarily Pete Duke, one of our missionaries that we support. And I'll be showing you some pictures in a few moments. So if you don't like preaching, you'll at least enjoy the pictures. And I think that'll be great. Looking down in Romans chapter 5 for a moment, one verse, and it's verse number 20. Romans is a book of the Bible filled with doctrine, a lot of teaching. The theme of Romans is justification by faith. Simply meaning we are justified, or we have a record that's just with God. The moment we accept Christ, we are justified. Someone defined that word as just as if I'd never sinned. And that's even better than being forgiven. Forgiven means we've sinned and then God wipes it clean. Justified means it's just like we've never sinned. And so it's a great word. So the moment you accepted Christ, you were justified. And God looks at your record and says, what sins are you talking about? So that's wonderful. So here in Romans 5, we see Paul talk about the law, or the Old Testament commands. The Old Testament shouts out condemned, guilty. The New Testament shouts out forgiven, clean. And so notice what he says in chapter 5, verse 20, just one verse. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Or it's basically saying the law shows how far off we are. It's like a plumb line. Those of you that have built fences or laid bricks, when you put that plumb line, that string with the weight on it, it shows exactly what straight is. And so you don't change the plumb line, you change the work. Because if your work is crooked, it just reveals it. That's all it does. And so God's law reveals how crooked our life is. Why? So we can have him help change us. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God says there was a lot of sin. He says, but my grace is a lot greater than all the sin. And when I first moved here, I read this verse and I read a statistic that only 18% of people that live in Napa have a church. That does not mean they attend church, but when they were surveyed, they said, do you have a church? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. St. John's is my, do you go? No, but that's my church. And you know, we've all met people like that. So in other words, very few people in Napa attend church, much less regularly or even a member. And so that was the verse I claimed for our city when I moved here. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. A lot of sin in Napa, a lot of sin in California. And God says, but my grace is greater than all of that. And I just love that verse. So that's what I want to speak on tonight, or I could call the message, most unlikely people to be used. The most unlikely people to be used. Father, bless now the brief time we have. Help me not ramble, but just say things that would be key to the message. Still our hearts for a few moments in Jesus' name. Amen. I start to go through scripture and I think of Moses. God says he was of slow of speech. Moses says, I can't lead. I can't even speak. He said, I have a slow speech. We think he was a southerner, maybe from Texas, because you know how slow those southerners talk. Maybe he was from South Jerusalem or something. But he was slow of speech, and he murdered somebody. I think of David. Unlikely. person to be used of God. He was a shepherd boy, but he becomes the king of Israel. I think of Gideon, the fearful leader. God says, I want you to lead my nation. And he says, he said, I can't do it. He said, tear down this altar. So he does it at nighttime because he's afraid someone will see him. Yet God used him as a judge. I think of Ruth, the Moabite idol worshiper. Yet God used her to preserve her mother-in-law's life, Naomi. And she becomes the great-grandmother of King David. I think of Hosea the prophet. In the middle of his ministry, his wife runs off with another man, and then another man, and then another man. And the book of Hosea is about his wayward wife. Yet Hosea keeps preaching the word of God and writes the book of Hosea. I think of Daniel, the captive slave. And Daniel serves God his entire life. I think of the maniac of Gadara, the man with mental problems, the man who cut himself, the man who heard voices, the man who had many voices inside of him, possessed of devils, lived in the cemetery, a violent man, yet God changed him and saved him and used him. I think of Saul of Tarsus, the one that persecuted the church. He said, God can never use me. I'm the one that tried to shut down God's church. Yet God used him to write 13 books of the Bible. I think of Mary Magdalene, the woman that had, how many devils was it? Seven or five? Help me. Straighten me out. Seven devils. Most women only have five. And she had, boy, look at the spirits in here right now. Yeah, closing up. Pastor, what are you saying about us? What, men have a lot more than that. So, but here she is, seven devils. And, she's Lazarus' sister. And yet she's the one that wept and anointed his feet and wept tears on his feet, wiped his feet with her hair. And Jesus said, whom is forgiven much, loveth much. Could God use a woman that was demon-possessed? Could God use these people? I think of the Corinth church, the church that was in that wicked town of Corinth, the books of Corinthians, that all this baggage, and that's what 1 Corinthians is about, yet God loved those people. Paul started a church, and they began working through all their baggage that they brought with them. I would call these people trophies of grace. I would call them diamonds on the background of black velvet. Then the lights of the gospel of God shines on them to reveal all these sparkles in every cut and every facet. We had the privilege this week of visiting in Mexico. We flew to Mexico City. We ended up in some town. I have no idea. I couldn't pronounce any of the towns. I'm sorry. But just want to just show you some pictures, and then we'll look at three lives for just a moment. Okay? Here we go. Okay, that was a first time I've ever seen one of these. We didn't have time to sightsee. It's a smoking volcano. And it was actually, every town we preached in was around this thing. We'd take a left and head here, and there was the volcano. And then we took a right. It was everywhere. I don't know how it did it, but it was smoking. It was not erupting, but smoke was coming out, and it was pretty awesome sight to see. Then this is the tallest mountain in Mexico. They train climbing it to get ready to climb Mount Everest. So that's all the sights I saw from the car. That was about it. And then we have here the world famous ladies speaker. And my wife was loved by those ladies. She spoke a lot on marriage. We did a lot of split sessions. She spoke on marriage and child rearing and things like that. And those ladies just took notes. They don't usually have split sessions. They don't have sessions for ladies. And the Bible says the older women, now my wife's not one of those yet, but the older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and how to cook better meals and things like that. So, but that's one of the buildings, beautiful building. It took a lot of pride in their building. Next. Before the service, I thought this was real neat. They said, okay, we're about to start church. Everyone divide up, find a partner, and let's pray. And so you saw people just all over on their knees. Some of the older women just came to the front and just stood there. And some people who couldn't didn't kneel, but you saw people all over just kneeling and praying for God to bless the meeting. I believe we're going to start that. So I've been writing some notes. Next, here we are. And so different building, different groups. These were all daytime services. So these were people that didn't have to show up to work. Many of them were pastors and their wives. And so we were not there on any Sundays to see how many people really came. But it was just well done. They had food. They had a break. So there's my wife. She's awake listening to me. How you like that? Here's another picture here. And so there's the name. I can pronounce part of that. Iglesia Bautista Fundamental Monte Orizaba. Okay, that's all I know. No wonder you don't invite people to church. You can't even say that. But so there it is right there on the sign. And it's a Baptist church. So our missionaries are starting churches like this. Next. All right. And so this mostly is, these are pastors. Brother Duke is the one on the far right. He has been there for 38 years in Mexico, starting church after church. He told me he just starts by knocking on doors. We've supported him just about the whole time he's been there. He is from Louisiana. I'll give you some of his background in a moment. The man next to him, second from the far right, he has diabetes. And so not a lot of medication he's able to get, or he struggles with it. But he's been pastoring a church 12 years. Pete Duke reached him. In fact, Pete Duke reached all these men. All these men he led to Christ, got in church, discipled, and now they're all pastoring churches there. Pete Duke would start a church, get it up to about 70, and let a guy pastor it. Then he would leave and go start another church. He's done that 38 years. He has dozens of churches all over Mexico that he has started. What a life. What a life pouring himself into these people. Then the man third from the right looked at me, and Brother Duke said, he wants to tell you something. I said, okay. And the man started crying. He said, thank you for sending Pastor Duke here. He reached me and my family. I am now a pastor. Our church has reached thousands of people here. Thank your people back home for sending him here. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? And so then the guy in the middle, I don't know a lot about him. The other guy next to me, he was the pastor of this church we were at. The guy on the left, who knows? I think he just showed up for the picture. I don't know. But notice over there in Mexico, it is a joy for those pastors to dress up. They didn't realize they're supposed to be like the hippie pastors in America with their shirt unbuttoned and in shorts. Somehow they think they're supposed to dress up if they're going to be the pastor. And I thought this was just a cool thing. Next. So there's my wife teaching through a translator. And after the session, the ladies just kind of got all around her and said, let me ask you about this. And what about grown children? How do you spank? What do you do? And what about meals? And what about that? And what about, and how about the Bible? And they were just sponges learning. It's just very sweet to see. Next. All right. That's the pastor in the middle that said, thank you for sending Brother Duke. Number next. Here we are. And so the guy on the right-hand side, I did remember his name. It's in the Bible. It's Jeremiah's helper. His name was Baruch. And he kind of looks like a Baruch. And so there he is on the far right. This is his wife next to him. That's her sister next to her. That's her sister. That's their mother. And that's the granddaughter. All those generations, one family, all reached because a missionary went there. And Baruch was at every service, just a joy, just a blessing. Next, and I do have some thoughts here. So my wife's famous signing Santa Biblias. Next, here we go. All right. I just thought this was kind of neat, a little interest in architecture. You know, you would think that'd be a monument. That's an apartment building. Can you imagine trying to figure out what floor you're on? Anyway, next. And so that's a different location. It was three different locations that he took us to, three different services, just out of the way. I would have never found the place, but all those people knew we're across from Home Depot. We're down such and such alley, and they were able to find these places. Next, and there's Brother Duke just trying to be silly. It's his daughter on the left. He has three daughters. Two have already married and moved out. He's got one daughter left. Her name is Faith. She's on the left. That's his wife on the right, Enede. So they've been married for many, many years. I'll say more about Brother Duke in a moment. Next. All right, here we go. This is his daughter, Faith. They just had a Bible club. First time ever. They've taken a TV like we do them with the Jose cartoon, brought it to a park, invited all the neighbors. School was still in session, so seven adults came. And so some of the adults got saved watching the Jose cartoon in Spanish. So for those of you that encouraged that cartoon or gave money for it, you will be clipping coupons for that. Next, here we go. That's a horse. I'm on the right. He's on the left. And it's not a donkey. So next, there's that. Here's a lady. I wish she would have smiled for the picture. And so she got saved in the service, and they had a little PowerPoint. We were doing a PowerPoint. She did the songs and stuff. She'd been coming a few weeks, and she's a lawyer. She got saved that night. And so they had certificates for people that got saved. So she forgot to smile. So there you go. Next. Okay. And so this is my wife and Faith. And then the little girl, her name is Australia. Help me with the roll the R. I can't even say it. It's Australia. And so Australia, something. She had a boomerang in her hand. Anyway. So, but she goes by Star. And so as I asked, I said, so where's your mom and dad? And they said, oh, she just comes with some other families because her parents never come. You know, all I could think of, there's bus kids everywhere. It doesn't matter what city you go to. There's some kids that their parents aren't interested in church, but they'll let them go to church. They'll let them ride a van and come. And little Star got saved that night. She was in the kids service, watched the Jose cartoon, and gave her heart to Christ. And she came the next night and the next night to church. I'm glad that someone loves these kids. Some of them who have homes that are tumultuous, homes that are not real secure. I'm glad there's some Stars all around this world, and there's some people loving them and trying to reach them for Christ. Next. There's the name of one of the other churches. I like that. Senior Jesus. I like that a lot. Okay, next. And so here was that church. And this is another one of those classes my wife taught. She didn't take any pictures of me. I just took them of her. I'm not important. And so next. Here we go. All right. And so we showed the Jose cartoon training them how to go out to the community, how to download it on their phones, how easy it is just to show the cartoon to someone else. So many of these pastors downloaded that app. Now they have it. And so they'll be using that. Next. Okay. It's my wife. She got hungry, decided to eat a bunch of avocados. Next. And yes, there's food there. And next. And okay. All right. Let's leave it there for just a moment. Okay. Can we get these lights on? And just want to talk about three lives on these pictures here. We're going to speak just a little bit about Brother Duke. I want to give you his background, let you know who he is. I've known him for 47 years. That's a long time. I met him when I was first year at Bible college. It was second year. He came my second year. He's from Louisiana. He showed up, and another guy showed up at college named Pollard Mercer. What a name, Pollard. Not collard greens, Pollard greens. Pollard was so backwards, and not everyone in Louisiana is this way. He had on a new suit his first day at college. Pete Duke's good friend. They played football together at Pearl River High School. Pollard had on a suit, and it had the price tag hanging off of the suit coat. Had the price tag here. And there was a price tag on the seat of his pants. I said, Pollard, you forgot to take the price tag off your suit. He said, I know. He said, it's brand new. I want everybody to know it's brand new. First time I've ever worn it. It's brand new. It's a new suit. It's not used. I said, are you kidding me? He wore it all day like that. That's how Pete Duke was raised. He was the fifth of 11 kids. His dad went to Baylor University. His dad had surrendered to preach. And that was the only Christian college he knew of. He went a year and quit. And never went back to church. Pete said, the only religious training I remember was as a child, Billy Graham came on TV and my dad made us sit down and watch his crusade. He said, I didn't understand how to get saved, but I remember he made us watch Billy Graham two times. That's all the church I had. Dad never went to church. His mother drank a lot, was a barmaid. One night got in a car after she was drunk and some other people were drunk. And they got on the highway, got in a wreck, and she was killed. Pete was 7 years old at that time when he lost his mom. He got saved because someone invited him to church. He went to teen camp at age 17 and on a Thursday night gave his heart to Christ. Someone reached that young man. I wish I'd have been the one that invited him to church. Wasn't long after that, he caught on fire for the Lord, started witnessing, reading his Bible, passing out tracts, and his dad thought he was too fanatical. His dad, who was going to be a preacher that didn't go to church anymore. He said, son, I don't want you to go to that church anymore. I want you to visit other churches for at least a month and see if you can find something else. Well, Pete didn't find anything else that he liked. He loved his church. He ended up in Bible college. As a bus captain, Pete learned Spanish because there were so many Spanish on his bus route. And one summer he was in Bible college. He visited the mission field. Guess what country? Anybody want to guess? Mexico. And when he was there in Mexico, he felt like, I want to give my lifetime reaching these people. He began preaching in Spanish, even in Bible college. Took him 7 years to graduate from college. He didn't have any help financially. It was just him. But he finished college. His parents smoked his whole life. And he said they never opened the windows, so all that secondhand smoke just came in his lungs. He said, when I went to the doctor a while back, they said, you have the lungs of someone who has emphysema, like you've smoked your whole life. Him and his wife got COVID three times since COVID came out. He told me while I was there this week, he said, my mind is just real foggy. He coughed nonstop, didn't he, babe? Non-stop the whole time we were there. I don't know how long he's going to live. His wife's had COVID three times. You know, it just seems like there's got to be someone to take that mantle and take that baton. He's served 38 years. There's got to be some young preacher who feels called to Mexico to step in and keep that work going. I hope that will. I just want to say this. God did a miracle when he saved Pete Duke and when he sent him to Mexico. He's doing a miracle work for a miracle God. I want to talk about his daughter just for a moment. Faith. I think we maybe have another picture here somewhere. Maybe next. Is it next? No, back up. Okay, let's back up. If we can go back. Can we back up? Oh, okay. Yeah, there she is. Thank you. His daughter Faith is the baby of the family. I believe she's 28. It's hard to see. I should have videoed her. She was born with cerebral palsy. So she's got special shoes. Her feet point in. And when she walks, it's kind of like this. It's all out of contortion. And then now she's come down with celiac disease. So almost anything her family eats, she cannot eat. She's allergic to it, severely allergic. They had a meal at the church and someone just touched a spoon that was used for something else, touched in something that she ate and she was sick for days. She went to Bible college and finished Christian college. She feels called to translate the Bible in other languages for people that don't have a Bible. So she finished college. She's been in the Philippines in a remote tribe, 57,000 people that don't have a Bible. She said, Pastor, they're trying to make it easier for me to get there because there's no roads. She said, I can walk 2 hours, but I can't walk 6 hours. And she was out inviting those kids to the backyard Bible clubs. She sang specials at the conference. Couldn't get the smile off of her face. And just loves the Lord with all of her heart. What a girl. There was a guy there, we weren't supposed to know this, who was interested in her. I did good, just keep my mouth shut. I've always got something to say. Well, he'll be here. I said, Faith, I said that, oh, that finger's going to look good with an engagement ring on it. I hope I'm here. And she, oh, Pastor Ray. Well, he shows up and he looked like a cool guy. And she said, now if he's not going to serve the Lord on the mission field, I'd rather have the mission field than a husband. She said, I'm serious. I've already decided. I know he's interested in me, but I don't know what he's going to do with his life. After 2 days, they'd already ditched the guy. I mean, it was all thumbs down. I said, poor guy, man. He came all the way out of here. He did the thumbs down. What a girl. I can't walk 6 hours, but I can walk 2 hours. Then on the way to the airport, I got to really get to know this last couple here, that last picture, Paul. The Munozes. Here we go, right there. Some of you couples have been to the Spanish marriage seminar that we have here. This is Pastor Arturo Munoz and his wife, Nicole. I'd seen them just a couple minutes just in passing, never got to know them. So we spent an hour and a half in the car together as they dropped us off at the airport. Brother Munoz grew up in a Christian family outside of Mexico City. His whole family was reached, his grandparents, his parents, and him as a teenager. They all got saved and they all went to church every service for years. Then he went off to Bible college in Oklahoma to get his training. Felt like he was supposed to be a missionary. He wanted to come back to Puebla, one of the largest cities in Mexico, 2 million people. He wanted to come back and start a church. And that was his goal. His wife, Nicole, grew up a little bit different. She grew up in Vista, California, the same church where Brother Hampton, A.D. Hampton, was on staff and ended up going to Barstow, where Kevin Wynn, the famous missionary, showed up to church, sat on the back row. He sat on the back of the pew. Kevin Wynn, his first Sunday, hat on backwards. Brother Hampton said, get off that pew. Sit up normal. Take that hat. And he just gave him a heart. Now, Kevin Wynn, 1 million people saved every year. It's an amazing story. Well, that's where she grew up. Her name's Nicole in the picture. Her life as a teenager was very tumultuous. Her life was nothing but drugs, alcohol as a teenager, parties, age 13, 14, 15. Then she got into Satanism and Satan worship. Her life was very dark. 3 attempted suicides. She had nothing to live for. Messed up family, messed up friends. She said, and during this time, 3 different people came up to her just out of the blue and said, hey, I don't know who you are, but I just want you to know, God loves you. It was just that battering ram of God's love. Then one day at her public school, someone came up and actually witnessed to her, took her through the gospel. She didn't get saved. She didn't even know if she believed any of it. About that time, someone invited her and her two close friends to church, and all three of them, they started attending church. And one of her friends got saved. And really got saved. Wasn't long before Nicole, in her bedroom, got alone, and she just said, "I don't even know if I believe in you, but if you're real, I'd like you to save me and come in my heart." And things started changing. She started coming to that church. And the pastor stood up and said, "You need to be here every time the doors are open." So the next day, she got out of school at 3:15. She came to the church, and sure enough, the doors were open. So she came in. And someone looked around and saw her. She said, "I'm here." And they said, it's Monday. "Well, the door was open. I was told I'm supposed to be here every time the doors are open. What am I supposed to do?" They said, "Well, you know, we have some trash you could empty." The next day she showed, the door was open again. "What can I do?" They said, "Well, you know, you could clean the toilets." She said, "Okay." The next day, you know, you could vacuum the auditorium. She said, before long, after a few weeks, I was answering the telephone, doing all kind of stuff. The doors were open, and I just thought I was supposed to be there. Then she was trying to figure out, they kept talking about this boy named John 3:16. She heard it, John 3:16. She wondered who John was and why his last name was 3:16. She had no idea it was a scripture. One of the ladies in the church took an interest in her to try to help her grow. And she started meeting with her every Wednesday to disciple her. And Nicole got baptized and started growing in the Lord. And one day she said, "Now it's probably time to clean house, Nicole." She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, let's go to your house." And she took a tour of her room, and they filled up two garbage bags full of drugs, alcohol, Satan magazines, pictures, wicked clothing, wicked symbols, things, posters, and put them in a bag. She brought them down to the beach and burned them. There were things happening in her life. About that time, Kevin Wynn, the missionary, came back to her church there in Vista and visited. They connected. He invited her to come stay with their family for a month in Mexico. It wasn't long before Nicole said, "Lord, I would like to be a missionary to Mexico." Wasn't long, and there was this Arturo Munoz. He was going to be leaving Oklahoma and visiting Vista, California with one of his college friends. He walked in the office, and the church secretary said, "Who are you?" "Oh, I'm Arturo Munoz. I'm going to be a missionary to Mexico." "Stop right there. Your wife is here." He said, "What? There's this girl, and she's on fire for God. She has just surrendered to be a missionary to Mexico. You're probably going to marry her." They started writing. They fell in love. They married. Do we have that video? Is that ready, Paul? As we're getting this ready, God can save anybody. God can change anybody. God can use anybody. Is it coming? No, it's not going to come. Okay. Well, maybe I can just pull it up on my phone. Let me just read this as we find that. Brother Chris, you have your phone on you? Find the Spanish version of the Jose cartoon. Can you? Okay. Let me read this as he's finding that. We're about done. This is called God's Hall of Fame. Your name may not appear down here in this world's Hall of Fame. In fact, you may be so unknown that no one knows your name. The Oscars here may pass you by and neon lights of blue. But if you love and serve the Lord, then I have news for you. This Hall of Fame is only good as long as time shall be. But keep in mind, God's Hall of Fame is for eternity. To have your name inscribed up there is greater, yes, by far, than all the halls of fame down here and every man-made star. This crowd on earth, they soon forget the heroes of the past. They cheer like mad until you fall, and that's how long you last. But God, he never does forget, and in his Hall of Fame, just believing in his Son, inscribed you'll find your name. I'll tell you, friend, I wouldn't trade my name, however small, that's written there beyond the stars in that celestial hall. For every famous name on earth or glory that they share, I'd rather be an unknown here and have my name up there. Maybe if you can get to the part, are you getting close, Brother Chris? Yeah, get to the part where the gospel guy walks in and he's talking to the teacher and the gospel guy. We still don't have it in the back, do we? Not able to. Okay, ready? Hey, just bring it up here. Just hit the button, start playing it, and I'll hold it right here for a second. Okay, thanks.
Espero que exista un lugar donde nadie nunca muere.
Hola a todos. Soy el evangelista.
Guess whose name that is?
Yo sé que se escucha algo cómico.
That's Pastor Arturo Munoz's voice.
Significa buenas nuevas. ¿Y sabes qué buenas noticias quiero compartir con ustedes?
Más dulces para todos.
Grandiosa idea. Dulces para todos. ¿Podemos hacer eso posible? De cualquier modo, yo estoy aquí para compartir buenas noticias sobre el cielo. Así que, tengo una pregunta para ustedes.
Anyway, it's starting to go into that, but the voices is the Munoz family. If you know the cartoon well, the gospel guy is Pastor Arturo Munoz. The teacher, the lady, that's Nicole. The Satan worshiper. The drug girl. And now people are hearing their voices all over Latin America, all over Mexico. And people got saved this week listening to their voices because God did a miracle in their lives. I'm just telling you, God can use you. God can change you. If you're listening online and you've never been saved, God can save you. Just some lessons I saw at the mission field. Three people. None of them should have ever served God. Chips were against them. Odds were against them. But look what God did. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound.